14-time Juno Award winner, a four-time Grammy Award winner as well, Michael Bublé, who's also a huge hockey fan. Michael, how are you?
Hey, hi, good. Thanks, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for... Berkey's bored, but we're doing well. You and Berkey, I guess, are pretty tight because Berkey's pulling all the strings.
Yeah,
getting you on the show today.
I'm a big fan of Brian. I really do like Brian. I love the fact that he's always honest and he's always real, and you get what you see.
Well, I appreciate that.
Berkey?
I met Michael when he was just becoming a star, and actually, my ex-wife put him on. And I'll let Michael tell the story, but Jennifer put him on their daytime show and was one of... Well, you tell the story, Michael. You'll tell it better than I
would. It's true, Brian. That was one of the first times I'd ever been... anyone had ever done anything on me. I was, I think, about 18 or 19, 18 maybe, or 19, something like that. And I had been working at some of the clubs, and she was just really kind, and she said, you know, would you like to come down? I think it was BCTV. Would you like to come down to BCTV?
Yeah.
And I'll put you on. And she interviewed me, and I actually have it. When I look back, I'm so embarrassed, but I never forgot her kindness ever.
Well, I know you didn't, because we came to see you play at the Hollywood Bowl, which is a big outdoor amphitheater in L.A. And you stopped the show and thanked her in front of all 12,000 people or whatever it is. Or maybe it was the Greek. Maybe it might have been the Greek. But you stopped the show and thanked her.
Yeah, one of those, yeah. Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, you can't. You got to remember. You got to remember who helped you get there.
So who's your favorite player on the Vancouver Canucks now?
My favorite player on the Vancouver Canucks, it's an interesting question, because my favorite guy, because I can say that we're pretty good friends, is Brock Besser. I really like Brock. I think he's a beautiful guy, and I really like his family a lot, and his dad has so much character and has gone through so much and still has this beautiful attitude with life, and his sisters and his mom. They're not really good people. They're my kind of people. As far as players go, I'm a big fan of Quinn Hughes. I think in my 45 years of watching, you know, the Canucks or whatever it's been since I remember, 40 years, we've never had anything close to that kind of a player, that kind of a defenseman. And it's funny, you know, I've always hoped, you know, that we could somehow land a generational talent like that, but I just didn't see it coming. I really didn't. I was happy at the draft when they got him. I knew there was upside there. I was worried. I talked to many people within brass of the Canucks or other teams, and there was always that talk about size. You know, he's a smaller guy. And even, you know, Brian, I remember watching the draft, and I remember you saying that. Here's a guy with a small body. And, you know, obviously, you know, small. But, man, I had no idea. I mean, we knew offensively he'd probably be good, but his defensive play, his way with the stick, how good he is in getting that first pass out after taking away the puck, I was shocked.
Where does your love of hockey come from?
My father was, he played on a team called the G&B Bricklayers. They were, a beer league team, and I would go to all the games, and my grandfather had season tickets to the Canucks. So there were years when I'd go to 40 games. I'd go to every game. And growing up,
wow.
You know, Yuri Bubla, Ivan Hlinka, Stan Smith, there were so many that I, you know, I just loved. I idolized them. They were my heroes. And as I got older, I just started to love the game, and it became a little bit less about the Canucks, even though I was always a fan of the Canucks, and more a fan of hockey, where I could just, I just loved, you know, watching every single game, and I just loved the sport, and it's funny, as this is a bit of a segue, but as we obviously come into this thing where we're all fighting this virus and we're all afraid, I've had so many conversations with so many hockey players. I've talked to everyone from Sidney Crosby to Wayne Gretzky. The pride I have in this game and its players is not unfounded. Over and over again, these hockey players prove how lucky we are to have such class acts in this sport. And for me, it's one of the things that makes it even better for us, is that You can go to any city. I know my manager, Bruce Allen, was just talking to me about he was in Vegas and he was in a cab, and he asked the cab driver what he thought about the Knights. And the cab driver's answer, he said, was he said, I never thought we would see a team come in here, and more than that, how unbelievable they'd be within the community. And to me, that's just a testament to these guys. You know, they care. They really do. They're good guys. And for the most part, really humble. I just think it makes it even a bigger love, a bigger passion for me as a sport.
It's well documented that, you know, you played minor hockey in the Vancouver area and had NHL aspirations. Could you see yourself making the NHL if you stuck with it? And which player on the Vancouver Canucks or, you know, throughout the NHL do you most identify with as a player?
I think I never would have had a chance to play in a ball hockey league. forget about the NHL. My aspirations were the same aspirations as 99% of Canadian kids, which is I would play in my garage and I dreamt of winning the Stanley Cup with the Vancouver Canucks. But that was about as close as I was ever going to get. I remember going out to practice with the Canucks one time and Roberto Luongo, by the way, who I've also been talking to, who made a beautiful video for COVID to tell everyone to stay home. I remember they said to me, you know, Burrows and Bieksa said, what would you like? I said, oh, give me one breakaway. Give me one one-on-one with Roberto. So I came in and I, long story short, I hit the post to the crossbar. I got close. But when they asked Roberto after, they said, what was it like? He said, well, he said, Buble started at center. He came in slow. He said, but then he fooled me by slowing down even more. And I think, you know, I think I shot the puck and tripped over my feet and went sliding into the boards. So, God, I suck. But,
you still play. You still skate.
I do. I went crazy and splurged, and my one big, I don't have any fancy cars, and I'm never going to have a plane or anything stupid like that, but my dad helped me to build a little ice rink in my basement.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's so funny because
with my boys every day.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. You know, it's funny, like when, you know, I covered a lot of basketball as well in my career, and a lot of rappers want to be basketball players want to be rappers. And I get a sense between you and Justin Bieber, you guys kind of have this thing for hockey the way that I'm sure there's some hockey players that would love to be Michael Bublé. You get that sense a little bit? There's some.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's funny, man. It's true. I mean, you find a lot of these, it's funny. We all, you know, the grass is always greener, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, as a matter of fact, I just saw yesterday my friend Ron Toigo, who he owns the Giants. He actually sent me a video of Brendan Gallagher doing something on TikTok. It was I think Brendan's the new star. I think we're ready to crown the guy. Maybe we should have him at the Junos or something.
Whoever hasn't seen that, he does a Brooklyn Nine-Nine takeoff. It's fan. What do you think of it, Michael? I mean, it was pretty good.
It was amazing. It's funny. It started and I went, what is he doing? What's he doing? And by the time it was over, I was howling. I thought it was amazing.
I wanted to ask quickly, do you get any, now, you know, you're friends with a lot of athletes. Do you get any special requests like to perform at weddings or bar mitzvahs or birthday parties?
You know what? Not really. I have to think about that. No, I mean, I think, you know what, sometimes you get the call of, you know, hey, it's my sister's friends are here, can you give us a call? But the truth is, I do the same thing, you know. As a matter of fact, Brock Besser, we were hanging one day, and I said, oh, dude, I don't want to make you crazy. I said, but, you know, would you come to my kid's elementary school with me and just walk in and surprise him? And he was like, yeah, of course. And we walked up there to my kid's school, and the kids went absolutely nuts, of course. And I think we all do it.
It's funny because we've had a few people on today, and we've asked sort of about celebrity sightings, knowing that you were going to be on the show. So it's funny for me to ask you this, but you're obviously a big international celebrity. Is there a celebrity you've seen at some point in your career and you've been in awe of, despite the fact you have incredible fame yourself?
You know, it's funny. I've definitely met people that I've been huge fans of. Sometimes I've been disappointed. Sometimes it's been better than I'd hoped. The one thing I can think of here, and I really haven't told this story, I don't think ever, is that when my family and I were going through kind of the toughest time with my son, Noah, I remember getting a call on a Sunday, and we were devastated as a family, and it was Elton John, Sir Elton, and I didn't really know Elton. I'd met him maybe once at some kind of event, and he sat on the phone with me, and he just talked to me. He listened, you know. He said, you know, I just want you to know, my husband and I, we think about you, we pray for you, we every night at dinner, you know, we say a little prayer for your boy, and he just listened to me. And, you know, he called me every Sunday. Every Sunday he would call me. And it blew me away. It blew me away. Maybe he did or he didn't, but I don't know if he understood how much it meant to us or how much we needed it. But there was a guy who, you know, it's funny when they say when the poop hits the fan, you find out who people really are. And, you know, that was, for me, that was a big thing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's, you know what, it's funny. And, you know what, we're all in this together. And right now, with the pandemic going on, we know that more than ever. How are you and your family doing right now?
We're good. I mean, I like to preface this always by saying it. And very much like you, listen, we're lucky. We're so fortunate. We come from a place of privilege because of all those beautiful people that watch us and listen to us. I can afford to stay home. And I know a lot of Canadians, they don't feel the same way. And so I always ask, before I give the ask, I always want to say how fortunate we are. But we're good. I mean, my life in the last week and a half has become just wanting to save people. I've been through enough with my family, and I know, Brian, we've all been through things that have been incredibly painful, and I just think that it gives you perspective, and you want to save other people from that kind of hurt. And, you know, this is why I'm trying to get across how serious it is. I'm not sure why doctors, I think it's probably because of what I've been through, but about a week and a half ago, doctors started to call me, healthcare specialists, and they started to give me the projections and the numbers, and they started to ask for my help and helping to spread the message. I was actually asked to put out a public address announcement, which I did because of the ask. And then I started to call every single person I knew, every famous Canadian, every hockey player. I then started getting more dire calls where they'd said, can you call the Prime Minister? We need more help. And so I did. And I've been in touch with the Prime Minister's office every single day. And I'm trying to make people understand how serious it is. And it is serious. And I know you guys are probably talking about it all day, and I don't want to be redundant. I just think that it's something that, you know, if it hasn't, you know, for some people, they're still going out. There's some people letting their kids go and hang and drink beers in the park or whatever, go meet up. You know, I think our Prime Minister is, listen, I know our Prime Minister is trying to appeal to the best nature of all Canadians and hoping that their sense of patriotism and caring about each other will stop them from going out or going to work and do things that aren't essential. But I think at some point, I'm sure his patience will run out, and I hope he doesn't have to take measures that are more drastic than just requesting us to stay home.
Yeah, everyone, follow the rules.
Yeah,
follow the rules.
Hey, and you know what? I just talked to Tom Power at the CBC, and I said to him that if I could guide many people to Michael Rappaport's videos, that's, I would, because I love I know it's harsh and it's frank, but I think I love the way that he's speaking to people.
Yeah, well, you're a humble guy, and you're also spreading an incredible message, so we all owe you some gratitude towards that. You know, Michael, it's great to know you're a big hockey fan, and I know 94 and 2011 didn't end exactly the way you would have liked, but down the road, some karma might come back in a good way for you with a Canucks championship. Who knows?
Well, listen, I'd love that. For now, you know what? I'd love to get everybody to get our healthcare system, our beautiful healthcare system that's been such a savior to so many of us. I'd like to save it now. And once we get through this and we can plank this, hopefully we can get back to talking about beautiful things like hockey and have that joy again. But, you know, a day at a time, we get through this, and then we can start worrying about our hockey teams again.